Druckenmiller has engineered the greatest comeback I've ever seen. Touchdown, Tech!
There's the snap. Ball down. Shane swings the leg through. This kick is in the air. It is good! It is good! Shane Graham wins it for Virginia Tech. Michael Vick makes a miracle happen in Morgantown.
The end to the hole. Took it right out of his hands. He said, give it to me, Roscoe. Give it to me.
Welcome to Memory Lane, a Sons of Saturday podcast. In this episode, we are once again going to talk about some of the best wins since the year 2000 for the Virginia Tech football team. This is the post-Michael Vick era is what we're calling it. We were going for games that were recent enough that everyone can remember them, but it's also a clean break, you know, with the millennium and just with, you know, after the GOAT, it seems like a good place to start. So we kind of were talking about this on Twitter. Clark and I had gone back and forth about it. We got a lot of opinions when I put out on the 2Deep account what was the most satisfying win since the year 2000. And today we are going to more or less be determining the hierarchy of our games. In the last episode, we did the one seeds. We eliminated all the bubble games that didn't make the cut for our top 32. But today we are going to seed the games. And I've got some guys to help me out. Sam Jesse, of course, is here with us. He's my co-host on 2Deep right now. Clark Ruland is back. He helped us out on the last show. Clark, welcome.
Good to be here. Cheers.
I'm adding Pat Finn, one of the Sons of Saturday themselves, is on the show. Pat, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Excited to do some seedings here.
Yeah. And I had to add a couple of Hokie historians. I've got Hokie Hack, as his name appears on the show. Mike, Hokie Hack, how you doing, bud?
Doing all right. Happy to be here.
Yeah, he's one of our frequent callers on 2Deep, and you'll probably recognize his voice. He likes to get into the bourbon, and I'm so happy to have him. He likes to get into some of those pumpkin beers as well. And then finally, we've got Brett Smith. Brett, of Locks of Saturday fame, Whitley's Peanuts fame, welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Looking forward to seeing all these games. I feel like Mike be a little fuzzy, but I did some research, and we're gonna go through them all.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I could hear your notes shuffling around. You're ready. Brett, I think, was on our Memory Lane show with Pat when you guys had Danny Cole on the show, and you went over the Nebraska game with Danny, and that episode was awesome. But you'll be happy to know that is one of our number one seeds. That's not something that we need to decide tonight. You guys already went over it in detail, and I would encourage anyone who's watching on YouTube or listen to the 2Deep feed to go back and check out that Nebraska episode we did with Danny Cole, because it was awesome. For right now, the way I want to start this discussion, because we are trying to determine the best games when we're doing this hierarchy, and that is subjective, and that's why we're all going to have different opinions on how this shakes out. But I'm going to start with Sam, and we'll kind of go around the ring here, as you see on YouTube. Sam, if you had to pick three games that you think should be two seeds, what are your three games?
So for those who didn't, if you didn't listen to the first one, by the way, you should go listen to it. It's delightful and a ton of great memories, as the show name would suggest. But I talked about how I went about ranking these, and I gave them a score one to five on the quality of the opponent, how big of a moment was the game, and how well did Virginia Tech play? Now, I really wanted to focus on that. How well did Virginia Tech play on this one? Because a lot of these games, they were close games or they were memorable games because Tech just didn't play that well. And they kind of mucked up the game to make it close late. So I wanted to look at games that Tech played really, really well, especially considering everything that was going on. So right now, Miami 2011, these people are losing their minds, is for me one of the most memorable games I ever attended. And I've attended most of them since I've been alive. And that call and that play with Logan Thomas and Mike Burnup yelling Tweedy at the last tackle of that game. is just so memorable, and it's one of my favorite games. I would also say on here, the UNC six overtime game is one of the weirdest and wackiest games that I think I've ever been to, ever watched. And Quincy Patterson being the quarterback for that is just going to be a great trivia question in about 20 years. So those are my two that I had that I knew I wanted to have as two seeds.
Okay.
You said give me three?
Yeah, just give me one more. You don't have to describe it. Just give me a game from the list here. I did put the list up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. All 32 games. And then I actually threw in that NC State 2010 as an honorable mention at the bottom, because maybe we could have a conversation if that can get in there. But anyway, go ahead, Sam.
I'm going to go ahead and say the Miami 2009 soaking wet game was sloppy. Everyone was loving on Miami, and Tech just curb stomped them. But I'm going to say that's up there too.
Clark, what three games you got?
Well, like Sam alluded to, definitely UNC 2019. That was a memorable game to the highest degree. With all the ups and downs of that one, that could have been a one seed, but I think a two seed is a perfect spot for that game, because a lot of people will remember that. And, you know, that game was just absolutely nuts. Everybody remembers where they were. Miami 2011. Also, I agree, that should definitely be on there. That was a great game between both teams. It was an offensive showdown between those two programs, and usually Tech Miami games weren't necessarily the best offensive performances, but that night neither team could be stopped until right at the end when Tech got that final stop. I mean, it was a back and forth contest. I also put the Florida State 2010 ACC championship game in there. Tyrod's performance in that game was just outstanding. The defense played well. It was the perfect night for Tech to win an ACC championship. So I figured that game is worthy of being near the top.
Yeah, we talked about that game with you and Devin last week, and how great that championship was to win over Florida State. Pat, why don't you give me three of your favorite games that are not our one seeds? And just to remind the listeners, one seeds were Ohio State 2014, Nebraska 2009, Miami 2004, and Miami 2003. So a lot of the conversation, there's so much you could say about those games. Go to our last show if you want to talk about those games. But Pat, give us three games you think about for a two seed.
Yeah, I think this is fun because everyone has a different perspective, and none of my games that I had in the two seed list had been mentioned yet. A lot of good games so far. But my number one here, that was just an unbelievable game. And Sam, when you were talking about your criteria that you did your rankings, I added on a little bit of a bonus as well. If it was for a championship, I gave it 1 point. And if it was on the road, I gave it a point. So this is a road game, 2007 in Death Valley, when Virginia Tech went down and beat Clemson in 07. An incredible game. Defense, special teams got on the board. You got a Macho Harris kick return for a touchdown. You had an Eddie Royal punt return for a touchdown. You had DJ Parker with a pick six early in the first quarter. And then you also had Tyrod Taylor just doing incredible Tyrod Taylor things as an 18-year-old freshman. So that is that's my number one two seed. I also
– I love that game. I absolutely love that
game. It was nuts.
And I thought maybe I was just alone in thinking that game was so awesome, because it's kind of a – it kind of gets lost because it was kind of – it wasn't a home game, and it was a while ago, but man, I love that game. Great choice. Next one.
Yeah, incredible. And then we have two other revenge games, we'll call them. One, Boston College 2007, round two, getting the avengeful win over Matt Ryan and Callender and Challenger and all those other beasts on Boston College. Mark Herzlick was on that team. Jamie Silva having some Beamer ball to cap off the game with a Xavier Adebi pick six. That was incredible to win and avenging that. You know, if we had the seeded bracket for the worst losses in Virginia Tech history, I think we all would put Boston College 2007 round one as a one seed. And then the final game, if I were to power rank my two seeds here, is West Virginia 2004. This was avenging the West Virginia beatdown in Morgantown from 2003. And to see Virginia Tech defeat a top 10 West Virginia team in Lane Stadium early in the year, again, Beamer ball, a consistent theme here among my top two seeds. But we had the who blocked it, Clark? I know Vinny Fuller took it to the house.
Jim Davis.
Jim Davis had the block. Yeah. Vinny Fuller took it to the house. A lot of people like to reference that moment as the loudest they ever heard Lane Stadium. I know the Brandon Manning touchdown against Miami in 2001 is also noted to be one of the loudest moments in Lane Stadium history. Give it to me, Roscoe, also. But, yeah, avenging a loss in 04 against West Virginia that led us to the ACC championship later that year as well.
Yeah, that was Devin's, like, favorite game. I feel like
he made a push
that,
for it. Yeah.
Yeah, he made a real big push for that to be a one seed, that WVU 04. And it is great to beat a top 10 team and have it be one of your arch nemesis. So that was a good one, Pat. Hack, why don't you give us yours? Give me three games.
So, number one, always one of my favorite memories of college, that 2011 Miami game. I'll never forget turning to my friend Matthew and say, I think I'm going to have a heart attack. Right as they play Inner Sandman, I was like, I can't jump anymore. I can jump for this team. And I was in much better shape than I am right now. So, number two, our last ACC championship. I mean, look how faded this cup is. I mean, don't dishwash, but just that's a mountaintop right now. You know, hope for next year, getting to the ACC championship, winning it, something I see us doing. And number three, I have to say the 2007 UVA game. I mean, with all the emotion from that season and having to go up against UVA for that, go to get the rematch against Boston College. And the emotion in that game. Was it Chris Ellis clapping at Jameel Sewell's face?
Yeah.
And then, Clint Sinem taking out Sean Glennon with 2 seconds left in the game. I mean, I think it was a good turning point in the rivalry. You know, before that game, it was unity, between the state. That game was like, all right, we're rivals now. Let's get it on.
It was one of the few times that you can remember UVA almost being on our level going into the game. And that's what made that game so huge. I remember
they were ranked 16th.
Yeah, they were ranked. And I remember looking that up just the other day. So I was like, I feel like that was like the biggest game in the rivalry's history. At least that's how it was being termed. You know, we're always victims of the moment, but on ESPN, they said like, this was the biggest game the Hokies have ever played against rival Virginia. That's how the article basically starts out on ESPN. When you look it up, and both teams were 9-2 going into that game. So great choice, really good game. Brett, what do you got?
I think my hatred for UVA might show out a little bit on my picks. I have Miami 2011, but when we hit those, and I have the same reasons, but I'll give you three others. I'm going to say, this might be recency bias, but I really think the UVA game last year at UVA was huge in terms of a pivotal point for this staff. I think you're looking at potentially a different roster if we don't win that game. I think you're potentially looking at just a different outlook on the upcoming season if we don't win that game. And the way that we won that game, I really think it's just one of my favorite games. I just was laughing the whole game, and I haven't laughed at a Virginia Tech football game in a good way in God knows how long. So I just think from just a visual standpoint, a pivotal standpoint of this staff and this new staff, this was huge.
If you're to use the word satisfying, like that was maybe the most satisfying football game I've ever watched for Virginia Tech.
And there might be a little recency bias there, but I just was like, I mean, I just think it was huge for those reasons. Set another one for UVA. I think this had the most nerves that I've ever had for a UVA game ever, and that was Beamer's final game in Charlottesville. We didn't play particularly well, but, I mean, could you guys imagine if Beamer lost his last game against UVA in Charlottesville? And what that would do to us. I mean, that just, it would have devastated us. We won, Bud's crying, I'm crying, my dad's crying, my mom's crying. Like, just from a favorite game, you know, just where it's just like close the chapter. That to me was, you know, one of the more important ones for me. And then Pat hit one that I wanted, was West Virginia 2004. Pac-Man Jones just throttled them, you know, just defense performance, batteries getting thrown from the stands. Last time, until obviously 2 years ago, we were playing West Virginia at home for several years. I think that was probably one of my favorite games. I was there. I was like 8 years old, but I vividly remember that game. My dad talks about the game all the time, just being in shock of people just throwing batteries at others and just about.
Well, you know the joke about West Virginia. They throw pennies because they can't afford to throw nickels.
okay. Now, just kidding. You can get in trouble talking about West Virginia. I saw on Twitter last year, but dude, great choices, Brett. I love the fact that you brought up 2023 and 2015 UVA, because Clark had a lot of love for that UVA 2015 game.
Absolutely.
On our last show, because that, and he mentioned the tears in the stands. People were sobbing. That was a big win. And it's funny, when I was looking back at this list, so many of our big wins against UVA, the biggest, have been in Charlottesville. Like, there's been a lot of them. I mean, the 07 game, the 2023 game, the 2015 game, the 38-0 game, like, they were all in Charlottesville, I'm pretty sure. So that's kind of wild. But I think from that list, I think I might be in the minority here, because I didn't have Miami 2011 as one of my two seeds. But I would gladly concede it for you guys. One of the things I wanted to point out about that game, Tech was having a good year. You know, we were kicking butt in the beginning of the season. We lost the game to Clemson. And I'm not sure if the Miami game was the very next week after that or not, but Miami wasn't having a great season. And that game went longer and longer, and I was getting like pissed off, because I'm like, we should be kicking this team's butt. But it is a rivalry game. And they were giving us hell. And do you remember the game more because of the crowd or because of the Logan Thomas run? Like, what about that game? Was it I'll go to you, Clark. What about that game, like, sticks out in your mind?
Well, the Logan Thomas's performance in that game was extraordinary. He was 23 of 25, passed for 310 yards and 3 touchdowns. I mean, that was one of his best games. The defense, they struggled a little bit, but they drove down the field late in that game, and everybody knew, like, Logan was the guy that was going to make it happen. He was stirring the drink. And like Hack said, they played in their Sandman. After Tech had scored to go up, Miami had no shot.
I also think another thing with that game is Tech's defense didn't play very well. Now, Lamar Miller was the running back on the other side of the ball, so give Miami some credit there. But, like, the way Tech won that game was such an un-Virginia Tech and un-Frank Beamer way to win a game, like a relative shootout. I think that also adds a little bit to it, because you won playing Miami style of football, not necessarily your style of football. And I think that makes it a little more it gives a unique flair to that game that you don't have to a lot of the other games on this list.
And the defense had a lot of injuries in that game too.
Yep. Yeah.
Who was on the call? So we had Mike Patrick. But who was alongside Mike Patrick? Was it Todd Blackledge? It wasn't Matt Millen.
It was Todd Blackledge. Yeah. But Mike Patrick's the one everybody remembers.
The Mike Patrick, these people are losing their minds. It's just so good. And sometimes I think about that game. It's like, do I remember it fondly just because of that call and how loud the stadium was that late in the game? And I think that's why I had it a little bit lower. And you guys are going to – I had it as a 6 seed. And wow. I think part of it was because of just my personal disappointment in the team that day, because I just felt like we were so much better than Miami and we couldn't beat them. But me having them that low is probably a flaw. And with so many votes for it to be a 2, I think it's probably going to be a 2. The next one we have to talk about is UNC 2019. And we did talk a little bit about this on the last show, but Clark, you had it as a 2. Sam, you had it as a 2. And I guess that was it. And I have it as a 3. And so, do you think, Pat, you know, them not UNC not being ranked and it kind of being a weird game. And are we giving it too much credit just because it went to six overtimes? Like, should it really be this high on the best wins?
I'm really glad you asked me this, because this game, if I am not removing any bias, this game is probably my favorite game that I have ever attended in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
So, however, I have this game as a three seed.
Okay.
Now, I had my two seeds. Actually, all of my two seeds were either 2008, 2007, or 2004. So they were championship teams. And I kind of let that, weave its way into my two seed ranking. But, I mean, you had Sam Howell, who is, you know, a rising star in the NFL. You had the two-headed monster of Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. You had Daz Newsome. I mean, Bo Corrales. Like, I think the call of that game by Tom Wormy was also iconic. If you were watching at home, Patterson drives his way in.
That was also the Clean Mountain Air game, though, too.
Was it?
Yes.
Is that the Quincy Patterson running up the middle?
Quincy Patterson, nothing but Clean Mountain Air. That was
Quincy Patterson play.
And that was to send the game to overtime.
Right. That's what sticks out to me, is because it kind of felt like we were dead before that happened. It's like, how are we going to get down the field? This, you know, this guy struggles to throw the football, and then boom, right through the line into the end zone.
You had a touchdown pass from Quincy. You had a touchdown pass from Hendon, and you had a Ryan Willis touchdown pass to Hazleton at the end of the first half.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's unsung hero.
Right. We talked about this in the last show. Like, we won that game with our third string quarterback in six overtimes. And so the lore of that game, it has to be a two or a three to me. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to insert that Miami 2011 game as a two for right now. I think we got to stick that. And part of this podcast is going to be like, we kind of got to cut and run, because there's a lot to discuss here. And so we'll do that. We'll put Miami as a two seed, that 2011 game. Now, the 2009 game, who brought that one up? Was that you, Sam? Like, that Miami 2009 game is really big. And right now in our top seeds, there's a lot of Miami, but they were a top 10 team. Like, make the case why that game should be a two, Sam.
Because that was an actually good Miami team. And that was that was a really good team. And that was a game too, where that game got a lot of national attention, but it was all, oh, Miami's back, Ja'Cory Harris, they got the defense. Like, they're going to go in there, they're going to beat Virginia Tech. Lou Holtz was, you know, old and crotchety as ever on ESPN talking about how good Miami was. Mark May was on there talking about how good Miami was. And it was never a game. From the kickoff, it was never a game. You had the long pass to Boykin. The block punt is like one of those iconic Virginia Tech highlights.
In the pouring rain.
Like, God himself kept that ball from going out of bounds. I don't know how that ball didn't go out of bounds, but it just did a 90-degree turn. I just think it's one of my favorite games. It's also a fun little anecdote about that real quickly. My sister, who has been to as many Virginia Tech games as I have, she didn't go to that game because she wanted to go to her high school homecoming dance. And after she got home from the dance, she was sitting at home watching the highlights. And she said, "Mom, never let me go to a school dance instead of a Virginia Tech game again." Because even though it was pouring rain, my dad and I got soaked. It was absolutely worth it.
Yeah, and you had to be quite a young man at that point, Sam, to enjoy it to the degree.
I was I was like 12, 13, something like that.
I don't know why I ask Sam these questions. It always makes me feel bad.
Of course.
But yeah. All right, so Miami 2009 is in contention for a two or a three right now to me. But Hack, were you the one that said 2007 UVA?
2007 UVA.
Yeah, I think that's a two seed. And because it being against our rival, and when I was going through the UVA games, to me, that was the best win over UVA since the year 2000. I think that's our best win. Like, you could put the 38-0 game up there. You could put the 2015 game up there. So how do you guys – who wants to make a case for the 2015 game to be a two? Because I want to make the case, and I think Hack wants to make the case, that 2007 should be a two seed.
I mean, there were a lot of big games in 2007. There are a lot of 2007 games on our list. There's one, two, three, four 2007 games on the list. the UVA game was the game of 2007. I mean, really, they had to win the game to make it to have another shot at Matt Ryan. That was the game that they had to win, and they did it on the road.
And Brett, can we get your buy-in on that? Because you actually have two UVA games ranked higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think I could get, just in terms of what's riding on the line, I think I can get with that. 2015 is just from an emotional, I think, standpoint. I mean, you have it described as like emotional comeback, and you know, I try to like separate that, but at the same time, you know, it's in terms of just being a Virginia Tech fan, I think we all could agree the importance of that game. But I can concede to the 2007 game. I definitely agree.
Does anyone have UVA 2000 lower than UVA 2007 lower than a four seed? Does anyone have it lower than a three or a four?
No.
I think we can make the case that should be a two. And then WVU 2004. How much of a groundswell can we get for WVU 2004? A critical win, our second highest win ever in terms of a ranking. And against our rivals. So now we can add our three rivals. We'd have Miami 2011, we'd have UVA 2007, and we'd have WVU 04, all as a two seed. Does anyone have a problem with that?
Well, I just think, was Florida State a bigger game in 2010 than
we got one more spot game?
And the elephant in the room is, what's the biggest bowl victory that Tech's had since the Vic era?
Cincinnati
08.
Cincinnati game, yeah.
We haven't mentioned the Orange Bowl at all, and we've been going 25 minutes. So that was the biggest win in that, in that era.
The Kelsey brothers.
Yeah, we're so far past that game that one of those Kelsey brothers retired from the NFL.
Right, tonight. He just did that.
but yeah, so the other contenders for the two, if we want to say Miami, UVA, and WVU are potentially in to that two spot, the contenders are BC 2007 ACC championship game, the one Clark just mentioned, Cincinnati, and then Miami 2009. Is there any other contenders that we think, maybe UVA 2015? Pat, do you have anything that you feel like should be at the top of this list? Like you feel strongly about any of those?
Well, it's funny that Clark brought it up because the Orange Bowl win was my fourth two seed. So
wow. Yeah. See, I have that a little.
That was
bit
on my four seed or on my top four there for two seed as well.
Okay, all right. Maybe I'm being too presumptuous. Hack. Of those games that we're kind of talking about, the ones we have in the conversation, do any of those you feel very strongly need to be, you know, right under those one seeds out of two?
I think the Cincinnati game. I think about, you know, I was in high school at the time, and everyone, you know, that was right when the iPhone came out, or not the iPhone, the iPod. and
I thought it was out in 2007, right?
It might have just come out, yeah.
High school kids can afford that then. But iPod, everyone's iPod screenshot picture or background was the tie rod putting the ball in the end zone. I mean, it's one of the most iconic pictures in Tech football, I think.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. So, it's tough for me because I don't know what it is about that Cincinnati win. Maybe it was because they weren't a power team. And the game really wasn't spectacular. Like, we're basically just going off the achievement. I know Tyrod was good, but like, what about that game was so? The defense was very good. I will say that. But I don't have a whole lot of like I don't come away from that game and thinking like, whoa, the memories. Like, wow, that Cincinnati game was incredible. Whereas, you know, UVA 2023 or Miami 2009 or the BC 2007 game, I all feel like should be a little bit higher. But
I was going to say,
I figured a little bit.
Yeah, there's not as much sex appeal with this Orange Bowl, which is a crazy thing to say. But you know, we only scored 20 points. It's Cincinnati before Cincinnati was Cincinnati, mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to Clark's point, it's either Florida State 2010 or BC 2007 here.
Pick a championship game. Like, we should probably get a championship game into that two seed. I think, Hack, you had that as a two seed, the 2010 championship game.
I did. And I mean, honestly, you know, between that and the BC 2007 game, I mean, yeah, that ACC championship meant a lot, But and then I think about both teams, that 07 Boston College team, the 2010 Florida State team, were two of those teams that kind of just took advantage of the Atlantic being so crap. So that's one of the reasons why I put Cincinnati there. And I know Cincinnati is not sexy, because how many times have we played Cincinnati in the last 20 years? And how many Orange Bowls?
How many times have we lost? Yeah.
Well, also that the Orange Bowl, even back then, wasn't the most illustrious of the BCS Bowls, because the BCS Bowls like meant something back then. The Orange Bowl was like lowest on the totem pole of those still, though.
Well, so it was
the
still
ACC,
a BCS.
Yeah.
Because the ACC
was tied in. Yeah, they were tied in, yeah.
Like my
it was
freshman year,
Tech's fifth 10-win season in a row when they won that game.
Like my freshman year, you know, we lost Clemson in the ACC championship game. Next day, we're freaking out because we're going to the Sugar Bowl and Clemson's got to go to the Orange Bowl. We thought that was, you know, fell ass backwards into New Orleans.
All right, so we need to come to a decision. We have Miami 2011, UVA 2007, WVU 2004, and then we got to pick our last two seed here, fellas. Should it be UNC 2019? Should it be BC 2007? Or should it be FSU 2010? I think those are probably the final three candidates we're looking at for that two seed.
I think Florida State 2010. I mean, that was Tyrod's last victory. As a host.
That would be my vote, would be Florida State 2010.
Yeah, that's a three. Both of those are my three seeds for me.
First game in Charlotte. First ACC championship game in Charlotte.
Yeah. And that was so big to beat Florida State, a team that had given us so many problems, to beat them for a title in a year that started with the Boise and JMU loss. Like, that was absolutely massive. And the game was good. You know, we had a defensive touchdown. Tyrod was awesome. We had the running backs. It was, to me, I feel like that should be a two. I could be persuaded into UNC 2019, although UNC 2019 I have as a three. I have UVA 2023 as a three, one of Brett's top games. And I think we're going to look back on that UVA game like we're kind of doing right now, just in what led to it after the transfer portal and into the bowl win. Because if we don't dominate and win the UVA 2023 game, what does our team look like next year? Like that, it really speaks volumes to where we are at now, what happened that day in Charlottesville. And no, we didn't have to beat them the way we did, but when you score the most points ever against UVA, I do think that comes in as my second best UVA win. That's what I think that should be our top, or, you know, right at the top of the three seeds there.
We could have hung 70 on them if we really wanted to. I'd really believe it. I really think we could have hung.
Oh, yeah. They definitely took the foot off the gas.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I've never seen it like that in my life.
It's hard to put some recency bias in that, though. I mean, because we just don't know what's happening after this.
Yeah.
It is. But at the same time, I just think we've already seen some of the results from it. You know, we saw us be able to, you know, go to a bowl and win. And that's not even possible unless we show up and show out at UVA that day. By the way, I'm learning how challenging this is going to be. And so we've got our two seeds set. And keep in mind, guys, we don't need to be perfect on this, because people are going to settle this as they vote on it. So we're just trying to do the best we can. We have six different opinions coming in on this, but by the time we crowdsource it, I think we're going to get as close as we can get. So Cincinnati 2008, I think we have enough votes that's going to be a three right now. And I think that UNC 2019 is going to be a three. Is anyone opposed to those two decisions?
And BC 2007, probably.
And BC 2007.
I think the Miami 09 game should be in that region too.
So we're done. So then UVA 2023, we're pushing down.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you have to.
UVA was so.
I want to zag UVA 2023.
Okay.
Because I think UVA 2011 was superior to UVA 2023. Now, I know the margin of victory was the biggest ever this past year, but it's actually not. It was tied. I guess maybe I used the wrong phrase there.
No,
the amount
the
of
most
points scored.
Yes.
The most points scored. When you score that many points, you kind of get lost in the stats. But 38-0, you get Logan Thomas with this 38-0 bro quote. This was a Coastal Championship game. I believe Virginia came in ranked as well. And this was, you know, all four quarters just completely destroyed them. You had Logan Thomas jack up that one guy. You had some big hits. Were there any defensive touchdowns in that game?
I don't believe so.
I only remember David Wilson just shrugging guys off, running to the end zone. I don't remember a defensive touchdown. It is splitting hairs, Pat, because I remember watching that game at a friend's house in Arlington and it feeling like it was going to be the end of the world if we don't win that thing. And just like this year, we stomped them and it was never close and it was just amazing. And so I could easily put 2011 ahead of 2023. And I think that my recency bias falls into the 20. I think both of these games are going to end up being four seeds at this point, because some of us have them higher, some of us might have them lower, but those two games I think are similar enough that they're going to end up in the same tier. Brett, did you have something that you just, I guess Miami 2009, that has to get in here, right?
Yeah, I think that's definitely when you're right now.
For number four. Well, we're up four now. Yeah, I mean, I think Miami 2009. I think I had that as a four. Actually,
has to be. Yeah.
Yep, that's a four. I also had for a four. Actually, FSU 2007. Beamer finally beats Bowden at home. I think that was finally got Florida State at home. First time I think they ever played in Blacksburg, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think before the ACC when we joined.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I think you might be right.
I think at home. I can't remember off the top of my head. I mean, it was just total dominance. You could just see the end of an era of Florida State happening right before your eyes in Lane Stadium that day. Players on Florida State were just – I mean, they straight up were giving up. They were just – I rewatched the game. They just were not into it by the fourth quarter. I think that one also have – it was a four-seed Florida State blowout against – on Labor Day on 2018. We know what happened the following weekend, but I'm not looking at that. But I think from, you know, just when it was a ranked Florida State team, which turned out to be really bad. That game was just awesome. I mean, just flat out dominated them again. And then I had the 38-0 shutout for the Coastal as before. So, yeah.
All right. So good news. Miami 2009, we did make that a three. So I had written that down. So now we've got the 220. We got the two UVA games as a four. And then I actually did also FSU 2018 that high. Like I had that, like I felt like that game. It's funny because there are four games that I felt like were very similar. And it was WVU 2017, FSU 2018, UNC 2021. Like those three games, they're all the openers. Like they were all big wins, like kind of upsets. The West Virginia game, I mean, it wasn't an upset, but it was a very – both teams were ranked. It was a very good game. And then my last one was ND 2016, Notre Dame, the game out in South Bend. But yeah, Florida State 2007 is a nice one to throw into that mix, Brett. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, well, it's kind of funny. You know, it seems like Beamer always struggled with opening games, and Fuente was really good at opening games. And I'm not really sure what the difference was in the game plan, but if you look, like, all the opening games, big games, Fuente had, he won, especially Florida State and West Virginia back-to-back. I mean, I think, you know, did Beamer win those games? I don't know. But I think we played better opponents back then, Alabama twice, USC. You know, that's a little different, but – yeah, I think the FSU 2007 game, I think, you know, getting them at home, I think Bowden retires that season of the year after. I think it just kind of really put us in, you know, Tech is the team in the ACC now for after a few years, you know, of winning it once and then for the next few years going ahead of that. So I think that game really solidified this is the team to be in the ACC now.
If I was waffling between those two Florida State games, I would go with 2018. And I know, Sam, you felt pretty strongly about that 2018 game.
Yeah, I think the moment was so big. Like, it was the Labor Day Monday night game, which was huge. And then you also – that was such a big game for Florida State, too, starting the Willie Taggart era. They thought they had a very good team. I mean, they probably did have a pretty talented team. And Virginia Tech was kind of in this – okay, is it the year for Virginia Tech to take that next step forward? They didn't, but that game itself was so big, and it was another one that Tech dominated. I don't think Tech played particularly well that game. Like offensively, they weren't good. Florida State shot themselves in the foot a lot. Their offensive line was absolutely abysmal. But that moment was so good and it was so euphoric. And I think that, for me, knocked it above some of the other ones that were good, not great, capital G, great wins. Like, the euphoria of that game and how big of a moment it was on ESPN pushed it forward for me.
It was the Ohio State game without the national championship for Florida State at the end.
It was.
And I don't think any of us thought UNC was actually top 10 good, but I kind of liken those two games, that FSU game and the UNC game together, because like neither of those teams ended up being very good. We thought Florida State was actually good, and we went down in their house and got the win.
I also think we don't talk about this enough, but that UNC returning from COVID game was a very emotional game.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people. I mean, to not have been able to go to games for a whole season, and that was the first major sporting event, like major college sporting event since COVID. And that was
it
was on late night TV shows.
It went viral every time. Like, you could post that video of like that horrible feed from ACC Network.
It's
with all the kids
best
jumping.
Video ever shot on a Motorola Razr.
And it would get like a million views every single time. You could post it with anything. And it did, and it'll probably go around this upcoming summer as well, because it's so that video and that game stands out from us whipping Sam Howell like we did and just getting a huge win when the program seemed to be going in the wrong direction. But
it was 650 days between games in Lane Stadium with crowds. I mean, it was that game was very emotional for sure. And plus, it was Tech's first top 10 win since Miami 09.
One of the loudest I've ever heard Lane Stadium, too. I mean, that place was rocking the entire game. Like, for 4 hours, that place was deafening loud.
Where do you guys think the UVA 2018 game comes in here? Because I have it pretty close to this spot in my rankings. And Pat, I also want you to make a case for that Clemson 2007 game, because we haven't placed that one yet. And it's, you know, we're trying to finish our last four seed. And you had it as a two. And so are you getting up on the table right now fighting for Clemson 2007?
I was going to say, I remember where I was when I watched that game at home, 13, 14 years old in seventh grade, sixth grade.
Ugh, making me feel old again.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Clark.
But, hey, Clark, I was at that game.
Nice.
I was like 10, but I was at that game.
He was wearing Oshkosh Bagosh, but he was
there. Sat in the Clemson student section at that game. That was fun.
I mean, when was the last time we played a game in Death Valley prior to that game?
It was 1998. Oh, they shut him out in 1998 in Death Valley.
There we go. And then I guess it was 5 years after we played at Death Valley in 2012, and I don't think we've been back since. Is that right?
That was the Michael Cole interception on his ass.
That's right.
Yeah, who was the dude that wanted to walk on at Tech and didn't get in, and he went to Clemson, and they just blew it up with him in that game.
Oh.
Rodriguez?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Rodriguez. Yeah. Was that long ago?
Yeah.
It's been a while. 12 years. Yeah,
I remember the feature on him on ESPN. But yeah, so I had UVA. I brought up UVA 2018 because that was the Perkins fumble game, the one that went into overtime, one that we needed to get a chance at a bowl like that, because we played Marshall the week after that game. But that UVA game with, I think there was the Stephen Peoples fumble that went into the end zone.
There's so many like crazy moments in that game. People just like it was like destiny. It was nuts.
I know. It felt like the streak was never going to break after that one.
That was a fun football game. You had Ryan Willis, scared money, don't make money, throwing it deep to Dalton Keene. You have Ryan Willis getting picked off and sprinting down and catching the guy at like the 10 or the 5-yard line.
That was a crazy chase down.
Oh, my gosh. You had Trey Turner.
That might have saved our butts in that game, him chasing that guy down.
Yeah, the Trey Turner one-handed catch. For the touchdown. I mean, a lot of highlights of that one. So I like where we're standing with that one, Pete. I don't know. I don't know if it has more highlights than Clemson 2007, but I'm really liking the matchup.
I
Macho Harris killed a man in that Clemson game.
I'm biased towards the Clemson 2007 game. I love that game. However, I could, because I like the fact that we've got our two UVA games in the in this four slot. I think FSU 2018. I think that's staying in the four slot because I think it's just that good. So we need one more game to be a number four, and I think we're. We're kind of between UNC 2021, WVU 2017, UVA 2018, and Clemson 2007.
And I think Sam just made a really good point. We haven't even talked about the defensive big hits from Clemson 2007, where Macho and Brandon Flowers and Cam Martin, I mean, they were in the backfield all day. They were killing wide receivers. They were killing running backs. That was a Bud Foster masterclass.
It was. We had 210 yards of offense. They had 380, and we won by two scores. And we won by three scores.
Clemson wore their purple jerseys for that game too, right?
They did.
Yes. Yep. And they usually wear those against like Wofford, and then they those out against
because they had terrible luck. Just bring up purple uniforms with Clemson fans.
It's like the green uniforms with Notre Dame. Like they're just they never win in them.
It's the black uniforms at Tech. Like, they just don't win.
Or the orange or the white.
That Clemson 2007, it was Beamer ball at its finest. Like, that's what that game was. And so would vote for that game to be the last number four spot.
Heck, so what are your four seeds? Do you have a strong
opinion if whether it should be that or UVA 2018? Or do you what's the game that is high on your list that we're just not giving enough credit to right now?
Honestly, you know, we're talking about Clemson. I think that 06 Clemson game that's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah, and they go head-to-head. If you look at our list that's on the screen right now, Clemson 06 and Clemson 07 are right in order in terms of I have them organized by year. And that's funny. Like, thinking back, I always felt 07 was a better win. We're trying to find the best win. I think Clemson 07 is a better win. I think based on the conversation we've had, that's where this is headed as a group. But in our last show, the Clemson 2006 game was on the bubble, and all of us were like, that one is in. Like, that one is in the bracket. So it's not going to be one of the bottom four games, that Clemson 2006 game. But I appreciate you calling it out, Hack, because Brandon Orr going off, us holding that duo to so few yards. I think, Pat, you brought that up. There was a Sons of Saturday tweet about something about that game earlier this season, and we were talking about it. But yeah, this two really good memories from the Clemson games. I think unless someone wants to make a case for another game, I think we seal off the four seeds here.
So there's a couple of games I want to
go ahead
throw out there that haven't been talked about yet. Notre Dame 2016.
Okay.
First trip to South Bend. Tech was down 17. Another game that has not been talked about 2016 is the Hurricane Matthew game against North Carolina. That's a very memorable game for sure.
Yes.
Tech stomped them that day.
Yeah. I would say with that Notre Dame game, one, horrifically cold. South Bend so is a cold. Terrible, terrible place in the fall.
Yeah, that cold front.
That was a really bad Notre Dame.
It was snowing.
Before I was wearing shorts.
That was a 4-8 Notre Dame team, I believe.
They were bad.
That's the problem. Like, I love that game. I went to the game, being down 17-0 and being like, okay, this once promising season is now coming to a screeching halt. And then to come all the way back and beat a historic program like Notre Dame, that's why it's one of the best wins. It's the comeback. It's in South Bend. It's Cam Phillips and the jab step. It's everything. I absolutely love that 2016 game. And I had it as a 4. So I'm already into a 5. So I'm definitely with it as a 4, potentially, Clark. But definitely I think it deserves to be a 5 because I love it. The only thing that's the drawback is the fact that they were not very good that year. And so when you said 2016.
Well, neither was Florida State in 2018.
Right. So. When you said 2016, though, I thought you were going to say Arkansas.
That's a bigger.
The biggest
Carolina Hurricane Matthew game, I think, is even though, yes, it was the bowl game and it was the biggest comeback, I think more people remember the North Carolina Hurricane Matthew game, honestly.
I think you're right in terms of a memory. I do think you are correct. And because bowl games tend to have a little bit of a meaningless feeling to them sometimes, whereas a regular season game against a ranked opponent with UNC does carry a lot of weight. And at the time, that was pretty early in the year, right? I mean, that was a late September, early October game, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we didn't know what Fuente was all about quite yet. And so that was a really big win and kind of showed us, oh, he can go on the road and beat a ranked team, even though we knew Mitch Trubisky was getting too much hype. But gosh, 2007 and 2016 were loaded with these games, man.
I have the hat that Bud Foster wore in that game. So like you can see.
Dang. Oh my God, that's awesome, dude.
Wow.
Very
is nice. Is it still wet, Clark?
No, it went through the dryer, like all the hats, so it's kind of a little deformed, but I was able to get his hat from the game. So
were you there? Were you in attendance?
Yes, oh yeah, absolutely. I was there. It was very wet, but you know, it's like any rain games, like Texas A&M 03, Miami 09, the Duke game in what was that, 19 or 18 in Blacksburg when it rained like crazy in the second half.
Duke.
You knew that it was going to rain. So you just prepared to get wet. Carolina fans didn't want to go in the rain. They're fair weather. So it was pretty much all Tech fans that game.
Gerard Evans, ice in the veins, Selly, to cap it off was
– oh, yeah.
That was nuts. Like – I was like, this guy's for real. That's when I was like, whoa.
I have a different appreciation for the game because I was driving from North Carolina to Florida for a wedding. Interstates were blocked. Major roads were blocked. I have pictures of me driving down dirt roads, trying to get, you know, the game on watch at ESPN and and thank God for SiriusXM radio.
Did you get a little laser on the radio then?
I did. I got the laser growl.
Okay.
And some burn-up.
Now, you guys don't think Arkansas 2016, Notre Dame 2016, UNC 2016. You don't think West Virginia is better than any of those games? West Virginia 2017.
So what are the ones that you have on this four line
let's,
right now?
Do we want to reset real quick?
Yeah. Reset.
I have a lot of games going on.
I know. Let's reset real quick. Two seeds, Miami 2011, UVA 2007, WVU 04, FSU 2010. Three seeds, Cincy 2008, UNC 2019, BC 2007 championship game, 2009 Miami. Four seeds, 2011 UVA, 2023 UVA, Clemson 2007, and then we're looking for our last four as we discuss these games. And so I'm throwing, obviously, UNC 2016 is on the list here for the next game up. UNC 2021 is on the list. Notre Dame 2016 is on the list. Arkansas, and I want to put WVU 2017 as well. So we got, like, this, it's a challenge. And so if anyone feels strongly, I want to hear you make your case why this is the next best game that we have to put as a four seed.
I would say Notre Dame. Really? I mean, just everybody wanted to beat Notre Dame because it's Notre Dame. And it was up at South Bend.
Pat, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking Arkansas. I mean, that football game was unbelievable. And Clark, I'm with you. Like, I have Arkansas as my last three and Notre Dame as my first four here.
Yeah, they're right there together.
Both comebacks, similar memories. You know, you had Gerard take over the second half against Arkansas like he did against Notre Dame. But to come back from 24 down, especially like to win a championship, and it was Fuente's first year, and you know, we know how things ended up. But as far as, you know, getting that 10th win in Charlotte in front of a ton of Hokie fans, to seal 10 wins. Yeah, I thought that was huge and, you know, led to momentum going into 2017 too.
I'd never thought about leaving your Tech game at halftime except that day. I thought about – well, I was like, I don't know if I can handle this because we were staying at, like, the hotel, like, right down the street. I was like, I might have to go and just watch this, like, at the bar and just – I can't be here anymore.
The Belk Bowl is the game that famously – Robbie and I went to that game together. We didn't go to a ton of games together because we didn't live near each other for most of the time we did the podcast. So he's like, let's go to the bowl game. We go to Charlotte, share a hotel room, get shit faced. We're having fun, whatever. We're at the game and we're sitting in the Arkansas section and it's going terribly. I'm going to blame it on Robbie because he's not on the show tonight, but he's like, let's just get out of here. This game stinks. Let's go watch it at the bar. Maybe we'll change up the juju, whatever. We go to Hooters in Charlotte and just drink tequila shots till we can't see and watch us come back and are and are just so ecstatic, making a scene in the Hooters. And so I left the Belk Bowl. I am one of the people, we left at halftime. We went and watched the game. But maybe the reason, you know, we won was because Robbie and I had left and allowed the team to come back. That's how I like to think of it. Because anyone I tell that story to, they're like, I cannot believe you left. Because, like, I was the first one to say, like, I stayed for Nebraska 2009. Like, I stayed at the end of games. But it was so cold. And we were surrounded by Wu-Pig Suey. And I was like, Robbie said, let's get out of here. I'm like, I'm down. Let's go drink tequila. And so that's what we did. But do you think that Arkansas game is better than Clemson 07 or Florida State 2018? Because that's the last one that's also like Clemson. Technically, Florida State 2018 is in the three and Clemson 07 is on the chopping block. So are we going to –
I think I keep Clemson 07 before that.
Yeah, that's I do too. Yeah. Clemson 07 should be there.
Okay. Sure. All right. Then we're good there. So then it's the next ones are Notre Dame. We'll go with that. We'll go with Arkansas. They're both going to be fives. And then UNC 2016. Is that going to be a five seed as well? Or is West Virginia 2017 better? Because no one's really talked about this West Virginia game. Heck, can you expand? Were you at the game, the West Virginia 2017 game?
I was at the game. I was lucky enough to have a good row of West Virginia fans behind me. So, I was a little worried at first, you know, with where my ticket was. But, like, I guess after, 12 years of not playing, we're just happy to, be playing the game. Just after the game, awesome, just, awesome chilling with those guys, too. So,
and absolute debauchery in the student section.
Were you there, too, Brett?
West Virginia and Virginia Tech students shared the same section on one of the end zones. Absolute chaos the whole game. I was soaked in beer from both parties. Absolutely soaked in beer. People throwing them at each other and just throw them in the air. There's probably $2,000 of beer on the ground.
I watched that game in a bar in Baltimore with some friends, but it seemed so loud and the most electric maybe FedEx has ever been. Like, I can't think of many other games, unless it was Tech in 2003 when we played USC. Like, it doesn't get that way for Skins games or Commanders games. So, like, having that stadium full of opposing fans, that atmosphere just looked incredible.
And we broke the curse.
That too, the FedEx curse, because we had some bad luck in that stadium with the Cincinnati. He played That's his true. Nuts off game from Bud Foster and back to the USC game. But
so I think there's two games that we're not giving credit enough. We haven't really talked about at all. West Virginia 2005. That was the last game for the foreseeable future at that point.
Yep.
West Virginia lost one game that season, and that was it.
I mean, that probably holds the most one of the most iconic moments of Virginia Tech football history, for good or for bad. That's what a lot of people that don't watch Virginia Tech football but have watched a lot of football in the last 20 years, they remember Virginia Tech for that moment a lot.
I was up there.
You're referring to the middle finger in Morgantown.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I wrote down for the memorable moment. I wrote down, I said, the crowd was peak West Virginia that day on Tech sideline. They continued to yell profanity and gave all the players the finger because they were just classy. And Marcus Vick went out of bounds in the 33-yard line, slid through the sideline over to the wall where the students were greeting him, and he returned the favor, telling him they were all number one.
Oh man! See, now this is where it's going to get challenging.
I mean, because the West Virginia fans, they had a fence up in front of the student section to keep stuff from being thrown down on the sideline. I mean, it was that bad. It was nasty. I mean, because all the West Virginia fans were just completely pissed off that they were getting left out in the cold. Tech went to the ACC, and they were still stuck playing Louisville and Cincinnati and Syracuse and Pitt, and so. They were pissed, and Tech just went out there and just had a great performance, and it ended up being the only game that West Virginia lost that season.
and it being the last one for
a everybody knew like time. It was over.
Yeah, until 2017, we weren't playing them. So that definitely holds some water. But I would also say like UVA 2015, I thought was better than that game. I thought Pitt, the goal line stand in 2018, was better than the West Virginia 2005 game. In terms of the...
I don't know about that. In the context of the history football, there's no way that that Pitt game holds.
We should have lost that game also.
I didn't go to that game. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go home for Thanksgiving instead. I didn't want to go. I was like, you know what? And it was, four plays, but the rest of the game sucked.
It was like the Nebraska game.
I thought I was putting the game low as a 6 seed, but all you guys are saying, like, you think it should be even lower, like a 7 or an 8 maybe.
I don't think that game it is as high as, a UVA 07. Notre Dame.
You did get the Billy Ray cheetah in khakis moment from
the oh, that's game. True. Him running on the field after the game. Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to put it up higher.
I also think the brand of Pitt doesn't hold as much weight, even though it is kind of one of those like rivalry games. It doesn't hold what West Virginia, UVA, Miami, Carolina does in the minds of Tech fans.
Yeah,
I did win the bacon that day.
Is that right?
I mean, I would put Pitt 2019 higher than Pitt 2017. Bud Foster's last game, 28-0. And I know you guys debated this previously, but
I just think from an iconic moment standpoint that 2018 game stands out to a lot of fans. And I would have it higher than the 2019 game, but probably not by much. I don't know. I hate Pitt. And so beating them like that just, I started school when we were still in the Big East days. And I just I really loved that win. But I think there are wins that should be ahead of it. Like the 2015 UVA game that Brett mentioned earlier, we still haven't slotted that. And then the UNC 2021 is still sitting out there. And so this is crazy. All right. So UNC 2021, WVU 05, Notre Dame, Arkansas, UNC 2016. How the hell are we supposed to make this decision, guys? We're on a 5.
They're all good games.
I know.
That's the thing. They all made the cut. All these games
made the cut. UNC 2021 has a macro college football aspect that the other games don't have.
Very similar to the Florida State game.
Very similar. And I think what that game meant, not only for Virginia Tech, but like for college football as a whole, and how popularized that game still is today. Oh, I'm getting a thumbs up. I think that gives it something that the other games just don't have. So,
go for the fireworks.
We figured out some of these
fireworks.
We're going to put UNC 2021 as a 5. That's going to be our first 5 seed. I want you guys to think about the next couple games, like just for a second here. Notre Dame 2016, UNC 2016, Arkansas 2016, WVU 05, UVA 2018, whatever. Think about those handful of games. And I want to tell you guys about Roback. Roback is a performance activewear designed for those who crave activity. It's the same polo company that brought you the VT polo, the maroon one with the orange Virginias, and now they have restocked the white polo with the maroon Virginias. It is called the Commonwealth, and they're offering our listeners 20% off using code 2DVT. They don't just have the polos, but they have so many different styles, all different ones, but they got hoodies, tees, quarter zips, joggers, shorts, and they're going to keep coming out with more and more Virginia Tech and college themed things. So I want you to go check them out, load up your cart, and use code 2DVT for 20% off your order. If you've already ordered through us, that's okay. I know Suns VT has a code. And I also know that you can create more than one email or use your work email and use that code 2DVT again. But right now I want to take a quick break from just all the talk about the games while the guys are pondering. And I want to see what Clark is drinking over there.
Oh, well, I was lucky enough to come and visit you for the Rutgers game in, September? End of September last year. And it was right at the beginning of pumpkin beer season. So we toasted a Warlock together. So tonight I am drinking a Warlock. So
you're going to be drinking 5 pumpkin beers like Hack
right.
on the phone call.
That's right. So I got the Southern Tier glass.
Nice.
And been working on it all evening. It's one of my favorite pumpkin beers. The Pumpking also just absolutely delicious, but it's hard to beat the Warlock.
And the nice thing about a dark beer like that, Clark, is even if it's a few months, 6 months after season,
it's good.
It holds the flavor and even gets better potentially. Hack, what are you drinking?
Well, I'm drinking Baltimore's Finest Natty Bow.
Keeping it classy. I like it. The O's are looking to have a pretty big season this year, from what I understand.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be there on opening day. All right. Taking my sick day, and I'm going to see the doctor.
Don't let your principal hear hear this podcast. No, that's awesome. And are any of the other guys on the show drinking something over there? Sam, what do you got?
Oh yeah, we got a Devil's Backbone, Heavenly Trip, Juicy IPA. It has an awesome can with some dancing black bears on it. It's one of my favorite cans. The beer is great. A lot of these hazy IPAs, you can tell some of them like really aren't that drinkable. They're really bitter. They're tough. This is a great one. If you're not super into IPAs, but you want something with a little more oomph to it, this is the one to go to. It's a great, great beer. I love it. This is like a 4.5 on Untappd for me. It's a high one.
Oh, wow. Dude, that's awesome. That must be a good one. And I love how it's Devil's Backbone. So you get a little bit of that Virginia craft brewing action going on.
Only sticking with locals. I told you.
Are Brett or Pat, are either of you guys drinking something?
Can't lie to you. Had a little bit of a long weekend.
rehydrating over there, Brett?
Drink a Liquid Death, Severn Lime, sparkling water.
Oh, and Pat's doing the Logan Paul. He's got the Prime going on.
Is that what it is? Is this a Logan Paul thing?
I think so. Is it Deion's drink?
It's Logan Paul.
Logan and Jake potentially, but yeah. Now we got a couple guys hydrating. I'm actually drinking something from the hated Charlottesville area, three notched Minuteman IPA. That's also not the best title if you're a young strapping man like myself. But the Minuteman is Virginia's juiciest IPA, as it's listed on the can. It looks just like a kind of a Minute Maid label. Three notch comes correct again and again. And I can't deny how good this beer is. It is a phenomenal hazy IPA, 7% alcohol, just 20 IBUs. You're not going to get too much of that hop bite, but you are going to get a hazy IPA that is not too sweet whatsoever. It's not even like, it doesn't have that bright orange juice color. It's kind of almost got a copper color. This thing is awesome. The Minuteman IPA from Three Notch. I would recommend it.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. Cheers. All right, so you guys have had time to think. We've got UNC 2021 locked in as a 5 seed. Is Notre Dame also a 5 seed? Notre Dame 2016.
No, Notre Dame was too bad. Notre Dame was, what were they at that point? Like 3-7 heading
something
into that
like
game?
That, yeah.
Wanted to fire Brian Kelly. Didn't have a quarterback.
DeShone Kizer, was that the quarterback at the time?
DeShone Kizer, yeah.
I can't imagine a single NFL team thinking DeShone Kizer was good.
Well, I could not.
says the Browns fan. I love the self-deprecating humor, Sam. That's awesome.
So here's why I'm going to make a case for Notre Dame. And I know we're not going back to the Vic era, but Tech got the revenge on the first opportunity after the Fiesta Bowl took Notre Dame in 2000. Tech had lost one game that season. And they took Oregon State and Notre Dame from that game, And it just left a sour taste in everybody's mouth after that about Notre Dame, because Tech had never lost to them, never played them, but they'd still been beaten by Notre Dame. So to finally go up there and take the game and come back from down 17, which was a major comeback at the time, that for me was it meant a little something extra just because it was Notre Dame.
It proved Fuentes worth too, I think, at the time also.
After that game, they still played well.
Notre Dame played well enough to win that game. Yeah.
They did. And I thought Fuente in that game, and it's everything's muddied by what happened after that, but like he sat on the sideline, typical Fuente, like arms crossed, like calm, cool, collected. There might have been one moment where he got a little fired up at an official or something.
He did get a bunch of force in that game.
That's right. But for the most part, he kind of did his normal thing, stood there. And even though we were down, you know, 17 points, you know, the team like kind of took on that demeanor of like, all right, we're fine. And they came back and won the game.
CJ Carroll.
Also about like CJ Carroll, great game. Woody Barron, absolutely demolishing future NFL star Quentin Nelson all game long.
Yeah, they had a hell of an offensive line. Despite not being a very good team, the offensive line for that team, for Notre Dame, was pretty solid. But, all right, so we had a couple no's on Notre Dame. I think, Sam, you were one of them. But Arkansas, do you think that has to be a five?
You know, that's a pretty astonishing comeback. Have it high up there.
Yeah.
It's an SEC team, too.
All right. Well, then we're going to put Arkansas in as a five seed.
You had Brett Bielema freaking out at one point. Well, you had
with terrible second halves.
You had the big Jeremy Sprinkle, Belk shoplifting storyline going into that
Belk at the Belk Bowl.
And the Belky mascot, right?
You had Pete Berthaud drinking the city of Charlotte dry that night. You couldn't ask for more storylines.
I got so messed up that night. I just kept saying like I got belked, like I got belked. Like it kind of sounds like a curse word, kind of not. But I got really belked up that night. But anyway, yeah, Arkansas 2016. We're gonna put it on the list. That is a five seed, and so now the contenders are UNC 2016, WVU 05, West Virginia 2017. And, you know, UVA 2015, I feel like UVA 2015 needs to, like, get a place here. I don't know. Brett was high on them. Did anyone else have the UVA 2015 as a four seed or higher?
I had that as a 5-6 game.
Okay.
I mean, and we can't compare apples and oranges sometimes in this situation, but it was an important game, but in the context that was coming to the end of the era. So there was, you know, just to extend it to one more game. It was an important game, but there were much bigger, more important games on the list, I feel.
Yeah.
You can't put it above Clemson 07, you know.
You can't. That was
big time.
And we won't, because Clemson 07 did get slotted as a four. But just to refresh you, we've got the fours were the two UVA games, 2011 and 2023. FSU 2018, Clemson 07. So now we've got UNC 2021 and Arkansas 2016 as a five. And we need to fill out these last two fives. And I would, like, I think UVA 2018 or West Virginia 2017 needs to be up here. Now, I will listen to arguments otherwise. I know, Clark, you really want the 2016 UNC game in there. Hack, how do you feel about like those handful of games? Like what is a bigger win to you? WVU 2017 or UNC 2016?
I think that West Virginia game, just, you know, we haven't played them in 12 years. Just breaking the curse, just and delivering on that hype from the 2016 season that we really haven't seen before. You know, usually we kind of drop the ball in those big early games, but not that game. You know, gave us a little bit of hope.
Man, this is tough. I see, because I think Notre Dame 2016 and West Virginia 2017 are like, they're right next to each other for me. And I think one of them's got to get into this five spot. Pat, what are you thinking here?
I have West Virginia 2017 as an eight seed.
Oh, God. Yeah, okay, that's fine. A ranked win over against our arch rival. You don't like it. That's okay.
Well, the rivalry had waned. I mean,
you had to go to FedEx Field. I was living in Arlington at the time, so that wasn't an issue. But
are you penalizing the game because of FedEx Field?
I mean,
I think that's
valid. Criteria. That's valid.
Fine. That's fine. I'm just curious.
It's a Josh Jackson coming out party, though. Yeah.
I think you could punish the game being at FedEx Field the same way you could reward the 2008 Nebraska game for being in Lincoln, which I'm surprised that that game has not been mentioned yet, or Tennessee 2009 either.
Bo Pelini lost the Nebraska game for them. That game.
I would say I'm gonna say Tennessee 2009. I would maybe put up, and this is crazy, I would maybe put it above this West Virginia game, And I would maybe put Nebraska over it too, because that West Virginia team was kind of bad. They were like 6-6 in a not great Big 12. Tech beat them with some cool plays, but it was at FedEx. I understand the rivalry coming back was so big, but if I'm not going to put it above beating Nebraska in Lincoln when that was the most attended game in Nebraska football history. And it might still be, I'll have to check that.
Now they've added multiple seats since then. I went back and looked.
Well, they also say they sell out every game, at the time, and there's like thousands of open seats.
At the time, it was the largest crowd, very similar to Ohio State.
Yeah. Rivalry games should be played in home and home fashion, not on neutral sites.
Every game should be played.
Fair enough. But Sam, some of the reasoning you just used against West Virginia and saying they weren't that good, you didn't use for the
Bulls and Oranges,
2018 game. And so, like,
that's fair. That's fair.
But I just, like,
that was in Tallahassee.
I think I'm with the reason I agree with Hack in that, like, that's just a game we don't win. Like, the Florida State game is a game that historically, like, we just fall on our face and don't play well. And the same thing with the West Virginia game. Like, I just felt like we were going to lose it because it was kind of a big spot. The chokies, as it said, and we didn't.
That's what I'll say. Fuente somehow figured it out in the beginning of the season. I don't know what it was. He won every game.
Someone needs to sell me on that Tennessee 2009 game, because I have it as an 8. I also have Nebraska 2008 as an 8 seed. And with 2009, maybe it's because it's a bowl game. There are really good things about it, but someone sell me on the Tennessee game.
Ryan Williams, David Wilson, Tyrod hitting Boykin right before half down close to the goal line.
Yeah,
we destroyed Jonathan Crompton and Montario Hardesty all game. It was domination from start to finish in the same building that we started the year off in and lost in. Tennessee probably wore the worst uniforms I've ever seen in my entire life.
They weren't good. Yeah.
Also, I think just from it was New Year's Eve, and just from a momentum perspective, the hype train for 2010 was unreal because of that 2009 Chick-fil-A Bowl victory.
Tech was terrible in dome stadiums. So the fact that they lost at the beginning of the season and lost to Syracuse multiple times and whatnot, to finally get a dome win was kind of special. But they just destroyed Tennessee in the second half. I mean, Lane Kiffin kept his starters in late in there just so they could try to score a touchdown, and Tech didn't let him do it. I had that game in the 5-6 line.
Didn't he not shake Beamer's hand at the end of the game?
It was very like submissive, and I hated Kiffin for a while after that.
Yeah. I'm like on the Kiffin train now, but for like a while I hated him.
Yep, exactly.
I still think that the UNC 2016 game still deserves to be above that, though.
Yes.
I think Notre Dame and the UNC 2016 have to be above. I think those are the next two games. Sam was arguing against Notre Dame, but I think, do we have enough of a vote that we can get, that we can close out our fives with? Well, I want you guys to tell me, but Notre Dame, I think, needs to be a 5 seed. I think it needs to be.
I could concede Notre Dame.
It's one of the biggest brands in college football. We came back from 17 points.
In the cold.
In the freezing cold in South Bend. I think that has to. So we need one more 5 seed, and if I might be getting the contenders wrong here, but it's 2016 UNC, it's WVU 05. There hasn't been. I was hoping for a little bit more talk about UVA 2018, but that's okay. Pitt 2018, you guys are pushing that to the back. UVA 2015, I think, would be in contention here. Otherwise, like, how high do you guys actually have this Tennessee game, or do you just like? Does anyone have that as a top 4 seed? You have it as a 4, Pat?
I had Tennessee and Nebraska as a 4.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I went to that Nebraska game, but I still have that in on the 7-8 line.
Okay.
I just in the context of other games, it didn't
quite hold. That's a fair point.
Well, didn't Pelini blow the game for them by getting that unsportsmanlike, if I remember correctly? They had
They got a lot of penalties on one drive.
Yeah, they had the ball. I think they were down a score, and they had it was like third and one, and he got it was like some weird spot.
Sue had a late hit out of bounds
because of penalties.
Yeah, Sue had a late hit out of bounds, and so he was really upset about that.
That's what it was.
And then got the unsportsmanlike, so it went from like no penalty to 30 yards of penalty.
All right, I added the bracket field once more to the screen for our listeners so they can take a look, and you guys can take a look. We've named a lot of games. There's a couple games, and let's just get them all out there while we're trying to finish out this five seed that we haven't mentioned. One of them, Texas A&M 2003. We talked a little bit about it last week. Florida State 07 was mentioned by, I think Brett brought that one up when we beat Bowden. That might have been one of his top ones. And then GT 2005, when game day was in town and we just wiped the floor with them. And then finally, the LSU game in 2002. We talked a lot about the LSU game in 2002 last week. I think it was the last game that got in on the bubble. And so I would fully understand if that comes in as an 8 seed. Does anyone have an opposition to that LSU game being an 8 seed?
I think 8 or right at the bottom of 7.
All right. We're going to keep it there.
And it's hard because it's been so long, but that game just was such a big game.
It was a big game.
It was such a big game. It was the first game with the new South End Zone complex. The defending SEC champions were coming into town. I mean, Nick Saban hadn't won any national championships at that point, but they ended up, you know, becoming the juggernaut. So, but I mean, time may have caused that one to fall down the list.
And
very
I think
similar
that's what's
to Texas A&M 03.
I think I agree, Clark. I think it's happening with Texas A&M 03 because I think
that's more memorable than LSU, in my opinion.
It's,
but that's
it's definitely more memorable because of the weather. It was an absolute monsoon. They weren't.
And it was a good game too.
They weren't the brand they are now. They were obviously a big football school, but they hadn't had, you know, Money Manziel yet. They hadn't had the crazy booster push that they've had at this point and spending $75 million on the football coach, not to mention what they spent on Buzz Williams. Like, that school has just blown up in terms of absolutely monetary support. But that A&M game, I'm not sure it's in terms of being the best, but it's a very memorable win.
And I mean, that was another hurricane game, actually.
It was
Hurricane
Isabel. Worse hurricane. It was Isabel. Yeah.
It made
I was
landfall
wrapped
that,
in an orange
that day.
Tablecloth.
I remember listening to on the radio with my dad in our house, like in the eastern part of the state, just getting hammered by Isabel.
One of my buddies was listening to that game on the radio in Richmond, and the Richmond radio station power went out. And he told me he had not heard who won the game until Saturday. And the game was on Thursday night.
Yeah.
That was also real quick about that game, but that was a really close game in the fourth quarter.
It was.
I think A&M scored. And then Tech kind of had to finish them off there with two late touchdowns. So that was a closer game than the score. But I think it's one of those that's so far back. Texas A&M wasn't the brand that it was. Tech was, who knows what the betting line was, but I'm going to guess Tech was probably favored heavily in that game. So,
and it's at a conference against a non-rival. Yeah. And that's like, because a lot of these games, we're talking about Miami, UVA, West Virginia, UNC, Pitt. Like, it's a great game because it was against a unique team. But at the same time, that does pull from some of the memories and the lore of the game.
But it wasn't so Arkansas State. It wasn't Ohio.
No,
it was
no,
Texas
right.
A&M. And that was a big deal. I mean, Tech never played those home-and-home series around that time because it just – nobody wanted to play Virginia Tech. So finally they got LSU home and home. They got Nebraska home and home. They got Texas A&M home and home. And it was a major game. I mean, and not to mention it was the Thursday night game. So everybody had that one circled on the schedule because by that time, Thursday night was the game that everybody wanted to go to. And it was a big non-conference game. And then we just got the hurricane and that just added a whole other element to the whole thing.
What if we put Tennessee, Nebraska, A&M, and LSU as the eights? Because they're all kind of the same vibe. I think that Tennessee win was pretty cool because it was against Lane Kiffin and because it's against a more regional team. But it would make sense to kind of put them all in the same pool.
It does. And I know Pat's going to have an issue here, though, because he does have – he has I think it was at Tennessee. No, you have Nebraska very high up. I have Tennessee, Nebraska, GT05, and LSU as my eight. And so I could be down with that. What we need, though, is we need someone to say, no, that can't be an eight because of this reason. And, Pat, I'm going to tell us why the Nebraska game can't be an eight seed.
Listen, I will concede that. I will actually concede the Nebraska game. If okay. Clark was there, and Clark doesn't have that up high here.
I have them as a 7-8.
Okay. I was at a bar mitzvah. I didn't even watch the game live. I had to catch the highlights after the game, and my dad was texting me throughout the entire thing. So, Clark, you your reputation precedes you here, and we are not going to put that one high. However, well, Pete,
yeah,
you saying Georgia Tech in the eighth seed with game day in town. I will push back against that one.
I want you to, because I just felt like that game, it's kind of slipped through the cracks in terms of, I don't think it would be the first 20 games that anyone mentions ever in terms of games that they remember. There's something about that game. It's like, it's in a black spot in my mind. Like you have to wonder
what other games were happening that weekend for us to be selected for college game day, because
LSU was supposed to have it, but the Hurricane Rita.
Yeah.
That's some hokey history for you.
Yeah. I mean, hacks bring it.
But that was serious. So, but that Georgia Tech game, was that not, I don't know what a hokey is, but God is one of them at game day that morning in front of Torrey Bridge.
Was that the game?
That was Thursday night when the game got canceled.
That was the one the game got canceled. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. But
when he's holding up the t-shirt talking about the last time
he's held it up multiple times.
Okay.
He held it up at the East Carolina 07 game too.
But so was this the first time he held up the t-shirt is what I'm trying to say.
We're going to give that one to you, Pat, because I think you might be right. I think you
can ask. We can ask Will Stewart. So
Will lost the shirt that day.
So I will say the Georgia Tech 2005 game, I can't let that game be on the eight line. We haven't even talked about how we just utterly dismantled them and destroyed them. 51-7 with game day in town. I don't care that you were second choice for game day. Pretty impressive. Now I will want to trade Pitt 2017. And
Did I write the year down wrong? It's Pitt 2017. Let me make sure my graph.
That was the goal line. The 2018. Oh, game I have it right. Scary okay. one yeah. up in Heinz
2017.
Field.
Yeah.
But if you want, I will concede. If you want to do Tennessee, Pitt, LSU, and
all right, let's ask this question. Eights, you guys okay with that. Are you guys all of the opinion that Pitt 2017 should be an eight seed?
Yes.
I have it as a 7, so I can concede
all right.
that.
All right, let's just
put it. I said 7. It could be an 8, though.
All right, let's put it down. If we all have it that low, and I have it as a 6, it's not like I'm that far off, but we'll put Pitt 2017. That's an 8. LSU 2002, that's an 8.
Do we want to put Nebraska as an 8?
I want to put Nebraska down there. I don't think we have too much opposition to that other than Pat. He did say he would concede it, so we'll put Nebraska down there. It was a great game. But I don't think Nebraska was all that good. And it, again, another game that like – then the 09 game overshadows that game.
No
so
question.
It's kind of weird. So we need one more 8 seed. And it's – I really don't want to ask for what's the other worst game on this list. But is Texas A&M 03 sitting in that 8 seed?
I had Florida State 07 down there.
I had A&M just a bit lower than 07 for FSU, but I had FSU at 07 as a 7 seed. Sam, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, that Florida State game, it was cool because of the brand Florida State, but that team, Brett, you said it too, like that team kind of checked out. And I just feel like compared to some of the other games ahead of it.
All right, let's throw FSU. Listen, Brett, every now and then one of our choices gets screwed. So we're going to put FSU 2007. So we have our 4-8 seed set. It's Pitt 2017, Nebraska 08, LSU 02, and Florida State 2007. So now let's go back to our 5. We need one more for the 5. The contenders were WVU 2005, WVU 2017, UVA 2018, UVA 2015, and UNC 2016. I know what Clark's pick is here. Does anyone else feel strongly that UNC 2016 Hurricane game needs to get into that five spot? Or do you think it should be?
I feel like it's got to be that one or UVA 2018.
Mm-hmm. I think UVA 2018 was bigger than UVA 2015?
No, I don't.
I do, personally.
We got lucky like this UVA 2018. I mean, granted, we still won. That's the point we're talking about this.
Right. But which was the last time that we saw UVA in Lane Stadium?
It's splitting some hairs for sure, trying to pick the better UVA game. But instead of splitting those hairs, let's get UNC 2016 into the five spot and move on.
Put both of them in the six.
So yeah, we're moving on to the six seeds now. All right. So we got eight games left. I'm not sure I could figure out which ones they are. I've been crossing them off here, but we got both of those West Virginia games. And at this point, I would feel comfortable saying that West Virginia 2005 is a six seed. I feel like that is a good enough game and a big enough win that should be a sixth along with, well,
I think the 05 and the 17 games are very even. So I think they should be together. Makes sense.
Can we put Clemson 2006 on the sixth line?
They were 10. Yes. They were ranked 10.
We can. We can do that.
But they were not as good as advertised, but they were 10.
They had the number one offense in the country when they came into that game.
Yeah,
definitely the number one rushing duo.
Yeah.
And that's what about that game was so incredible is that they had so much hype. James Davis and CJ Spiller. CJ Spiller, who went on to have a great pro career, and we just did what Bud Foster does best and just stifled the run, and they couldn't do anything.
And Tech controlled the ball.
Yeah.
Brandon Orr had a day.
203 yards on 37 carries. When was the last time you seen a running back was 37 carries? They'd probably be dead.
Tommy Bowden had a day. You saw three timeouts in the first quarter?
Will Proctor's five-star Will Proctor's QB.
Was that who it was? Oh, my God.
He was like the prize possession. Like he was like the best quarterback they ever got.
I'll tell you, going back and looking at some of the opposing quarterbacks is really funny because you're like, yeah, this was a big game. Their quarterback was, that was their quarterback?
Reggie Ball.
Reggie Ball. I mean, who was the quarterback for Boston College when Tech played them in the ACC title game in 2008?
Dominique Davis.
We played him in 2011 at ECU.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, guys, I feel like if we want to put both of those West Virginia games into the sixth spot, and Pat wants to get this Clemson 2006 game into the sixth spot.
So here's the games we have remaining.
Yeah.
We have UVA 2018, UVA 2015, Tennessee 2009, Georgia Tech 2005, Texas A&M 2003. So which one of those games is the top one? I would say UVA 2015. That was a bigger win.
You think UVA 2015 over UVA 2018? That yes. Let's pick the better UVA game.
I didn't cry after the UVA 2018.
I would say I cried almost at UVA 2018 just because of pure anxiety, not because of happiness.
I don't remember much of UVA 2018. I'm gonna be honest with y'all.
All right, let's go with UVA 2015 though. That should get into the six. Hey, we got to close this thing out. So we got both. I want to put both West Virginia games on that six line. I want to put Clemson 06. I want to put UVA 2015 on that six line.
I like that 15. That's a strong 16.
Yeah, those two West Virginia games are very similar, very very similar.
All right, so then that means UVA 2018. Texas A&M 03, GT 05, and Tennessee 09 are our seven seeds. And listen, I know Tennessee, you guys gave some love to Tennessee. I had it pretty low. I just think the bowl game aspect, neutral site aspect, leaves it at a seven. And listen, we discussed all the games. How difficult was this exercise? It was extremely challenging to try to pick the best games and put them in some kind of order.
So it's a fun bracket.
It's fun to talk about this stuff.
Without a national title, significant like college football playoff win, anything like that, you have so many games that are more based upon you and the memories of the fans around you other than like the moment of the game. And I think that's been really, really cool hearing everybody's like individual anecdotes about where they were, where they were watching, who they were with, little stories around the game that have made it that make these games special even more than the result and the opponent.
Yeah. And that's why when we were on the last show and Devin would say this thing and Clark would be like, how can you not have this game here? And that's what it is. It's so much of your personal experience. And Sam, I mean, one of the games that you said was one of your favorite games, Miami 2016, like we didn't even get into the bracket, but that game was awesome. I went to that game. It was amazing.
I mean, my friend busted his head open walking to the tailgate that morning, was in North End Zone, bleeding down his face, and some random girl ended up taking him to the hospital. Like, that's why that game is.
Oh, I thought you were going to say taking him home.
I think they just went to he needed stitches. I'm pretty sure he was concussed. But beside the point, like, it's those things that make the games, they give him a little extra oomph, you know?
And all the ones leaving the game early and going to Hooters, yes.
But all the ones that didn't make the cut, I mean, if you go back and listen to the previous show, we touched on a lot of games. I mean, there's so many memorable games over the last 23 years.
And we probably want to mention like 100 games doing this.
Easy. It seems like an awful lot because we even mentioned some of the losses in the last one and in this one. And so this week, in about 2 days or whenever Clark and I can get it together and Clark's going to work on the graphic, we're going to put the bracket out there for the listeners, and it's going to be on the 2Deep VT Twitter/X page, and we're going to have the votes. Clark has done this in the past with the helmets, and that's always been well received. And so I know the Sons of Saturday account will be retweeting it out, and we'll get a lot of exposure for the voting. But that's what's cool. It's like we're just trying to give it a baseline. We want to see what you guys think, what the listeners think. And you're going to vote on it. And maybe we'll get a 7-2. I don't know. It's possible. It just kind of depends. Like, I got so many people telling me that LSU 2002 had to be in the bracket. And it's probably number 32. Like, it barely made it when we went through this exercise a couple different times. And so this is going to be a lot of fun. Look for the bracket coming up on your X feed. Sam and I earlier tonight recorded a podcast about the basketball teams, about what's going on with Liz Kitley and what it could mean for the team. And I know we're all just still recovering a little bit shell-shocked from what happened to our team that looked like our best chance to get a natty in a long time, but maybe she'll be back. I don't know. Let's think optimistically, but for now, I want to thank all of you guys, all five of the other gentlemen on the show for being on here. Clark, you did a lot of work, a lot of research. Brett and Hack, thank you for being
here. Still got a little work to do.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a pleasure. Pat, Finn, thank you so much for coming on. I know you and Sam and Hack and Brett, like you, all of you guys, Clark, you know so much more and look into this Hokie history even more than I do. And I consider myself an expert. And so it's awesome to have some lifers on the show because I really didn't get indoctrinated into Hokie Nation until I was about 18 or 19 when I got down to Tech. And so you guys have been following it a long time, and it was a pleasure to do this with you. Until next time, when you are probably catching up on what our football team's doing in spring practice, go Hokies.
Go Hokies.